is Lupe from Little Rock, Arkansas. And no, I don't need the current crisis to motivate me to vote. As a naturalized citizen, it is my responsibility to vote in all elections, not just presidential elections. Doing so is my continuous support to speak for those who do not have a voice.
Hi, this is Fernanda Fisher from Lafayette, California. I have to say that I'm completely disgusted with this administration, and I will be voting across the board Democratic in the midterms, and I hope everyone else will show up that day because this is critical for our country. And as the daughter of two immigrants, I think we all need to realize what makes this country great.
Those are some of the Latino voters who called us this week in reaction to President Trump's zero tolerance policy. And one key demographic that Democrats are counting on this election are those Latino voters. They're hoping that Latinos who are upset with President Trump's hardline stance on immigration will be motivated to vote Democrat on Election Day. It's also what they relied on in 2016. But
the Latino vote didn't turn out in the numbers people were expecting. If there was a Trump effect, it really didn't seem to show up in some key states.
That's Mark Hugo Lopez, Director of Hispanic Research at the Pew Research Center, and he breaks down the data.
Our surveys prior to the election of the Hispanic population suggested that many Hispanics, by the way, had heard Donald Trump's comments about Mexican immigrants. So there was an awareness of his comments about the population and about particularly Mexican immigrants. However, many Latinos, in fact, half of Hispanic eligible voters, for example, are in two states, California and Texas. Neither one was a battleground state in 2016. As a result, one of the things that's most important for getting Hispanics out to vote, just asking them to vote, doing a lot of get-out-the-vote efforts, weren't focused in those states. So we might expect that in those states, Latino voters didn't turn out in big numbers, partly because they just hadn't been reached out to.
Yeah, it seems like we're in sort of this catch-22 with so many campaigns where they say, well, these voters don't turn out, so we can't spend our resources trying to get them motivated. We should spend much more time on the people we know who are actually consistent voters.
And that's exactly right. And so when you talk about the new number of Latino eligible voters in any given presidential election cycle, it's about 4 million people, many of them young people. And you hear the same story not just about Hispanics, but you also hear about it when it comes to young people, this sense of it's sort of a chicken and an egg problem, which should we do first, or what, how should we invest in them? But they never come out to vote, so why should we invest in them? That's a story you will hear often. And from the side of Hispanics, you'll hear them say, politicians never come talk to us. They really don't seem interested in our communities. They don't really seem interested in us. So it's a little bit of a two-way street as well.
What about how the issue of immigration plays with Hispanic community? It seems that that's all we talk about when we talk about this community and voting. The first thing we say is, well, immigration is the issue that is going to motivate or spur turnout. But do we know that immigration is actually their number one concern?
Well, different polls have shown some different numbers, but certainly the exit poll from 2016 showed that among Latinos who voted in 2016, according to the exit poll, immigration was not the top issue. It was issues like jobs and the economy that was more important to determining the vote of Hispanic voters in 2016. Our own polls we've been doing for the last 10 years have shown that the issue of immigration has not been a top issue either for Latinos or even for the U.S. public, at least up through 2016. Now, I will say that things have changed a little bit in the last 2 years. Immigration has risen as an issue for the U.S. public. There's more interest in this and identifying the issue of immigration as a top priority for Congress and the president to deal with, for example, today than was the case in 2016 among the general U.S. public. Among Latinos, we need to do some surveys to figure out whether or not things have changed among Latinos on this. But it's very possible that for Latino voters, the issue of immigration might be rising some. It did the last time there was a big discussion about immigration back in 07 and 08. It was a little bit higher on the list of issues, but then it fell away with the Great Recession and so forth. However, it generally has not been the top issue, and it usually has followed things like education, jobs, or healthcare as top issues that the Latino population points to.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because when I talk to Democratic and Republican strategists, and they talk about how they're doing outreach to the Hispanic community. For Republicans, they talk about a lot of cultural issues. This is a community of people who are very supportive of our pro-life policies. They're pro-family. They're pro-business, right? That is their sort of cultural DNA. And then for Democrats, they say on immigration, on the rhetoric from Republicans, we are going to win over this Latina vote, rather than focusing on the core economic or other policy challenges that these voters are looking for from the two parties.
The education issue particularly is interesting because this is a young population which has many of its children in public schools. So for Latinos, the issue of education makes sense. Same thing with healthcare. Many young Latinos are facing high healthcare costs that are perhaps they don't have healthcare through work or they have to rely on other sources in order to pay for healthcare. It makes sense that that is an issue that would be of concern to the population. On the Republican issues that you outlined, certainly with regard to abortion, Latinos have not moved very much on this, and they're actually split on whether abortion should be legal or illegal in the United States. Foreign-born Hispanics are more likely to say abortion should be illegal in all or most cases, while the U.S.-borns are more likely to say it should be legal in all or most cases. On the issue, though, of gay marriage, interestingly enough, the Hispanic population has moved, just like the U.S. population, towards being in support of gay marriage. So it depends on the issue, but on some of these cultural issues, Latinos have moved. On others, they haven't. And then, of course, when it comes to Republicans and the way Republicans talk about Hispanics and the Hispanic population, Trump's comments about Hispanics, looking at 2016 is a pretty good experiment for seeing how the Hispanic vote responded to that particular set of comments. In this case, Latinos did turn out in record numbers, but their voter turnout rate fell, so it was sort of a mixed story on the Hispanic vote in 2016.
That's Mark Hugo Lopez, Director of Hispanic Research at the Pew Research Center. In many ways, it feels like we've been here before. Donald Trump as president or as a candidate for president says or does something that's immediately met with overwhelming negative reactions. His claim that the judge hearing the case about Trump University was unable to be impartial because he was Mexican. His both sides remarks after Charlottesville. And of course, the grab them by the, you know, on the Access Hollywood tape. But soon the furor dies down and the media attention moves elsewhere, usually to something else that Trump has said or done. Those who support the president defend him as someone who speaks his mind and isn't bound by political correctness. Others cringe at his language, but see it as bluster without real-world consequence. But here's what's different. For the first time, the president's language can't be separated from his policy. His harsh rhetoric on immigration is no longer theoretical. This is what the term zero tolerance looks like in practice. So will this week be a tipping point for voters? Could this be, as conservative commentator Hugh Hewitt posited, the president's new Katrina? Or will the media and the outrage soon move to another topic? Has it seared into the American conscious or just grazed it? And what will Democrats do with the issue come this fall? They too have struggled to defend and define their version of immigration reform, with many worrying that they'd alienate the white voters they need to win. That's my take. What's yours? You can always find us on Facebook and leave us a comment there. Also, if you missed anything and you want to listen back again, check out our podcast on iTunes, Pocket Casts, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And leave us a rating while you're there. And of course, you can call us with anything at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway, or you can send it to me at Amy E. Walter. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Amy Walter. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.